You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, watch all the latest training camp news and get behind-the-scenes coverage of your Cleveland Browns with the nightly comprehensive show Training Camp Daily, presented by PNC Bank on Sports Time Ohio tonight at 10:30. It's time to bark, Dog Pound. Notorious V.I.C. will be on that show tonight with Jim Donovan and Doug Deek, and I'll be on tomorrow. Good show on Sports Time Ohio every night, 10:30, when there is training camp. So check it out, Training Camp Daily. Very happy, very excited to be joined now live in studio by a very good friend, a respected man, not an angry lobster, but certainly in the angry lobster angry. Family. Yeah. Absolutely. The angry highly crab from respect. Maryland.
Yes, the crafty indeed. Crustacean.
The crafty crustacean from CBS Sports, their NFL insider,
respect.
Jason Lockenfora.
I bow in the presence of you two. This is actually not over the phone. It's nice.
Much better.
It's nice
to
be able to look
here.
At your mugs.
I know. Well,
I don't know about that, but
we'll take what
works for
we'll
me.
Do what we can. Exactly. Exactly. So here you come to Cleveland. You're on the training camp tour. Pretty crazy. A year ago, you were probably dreading the Cleveland trip.
No, I would never dread. Why would I ever dread a Cleveland trip?
It wasn't necessarily.
It's a nice setup here.
Very
you
nice
know,
of you.
It's
from, a,
it's
a story from a content editorial perspective.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Well, last year there was a lot to write about because you had the. I think my take
Chud,
last year was the new
Norv.
Coordinator. Yeah, and even beyond Chud, it was the coordinator. You know, it was
right.
Norv and Ray, and you know, both had been successful. One guy had been a head coach; the other guy came damn close. So, yeah.
And now it's all of a sudden the epicenter of the NFL world right
you would have told me then that all this would, like, if we would have sat here a year ago and, like, you'd have been like, okay, all these guys are getting blown out and then the whole coaching thing and then
we
the whole Johnny
it.
Football
yeah.
thing, I would have been like, what?
Wasn't a dull offseason, that's for sure.
Brandon Weeden not lasting long, though.
No,
I would have.
That you would have believed.
You would have had a hell of a time convincing me otherwise. Everything else that happened, wow, who saw it coming?
Yeah, absolutely wild. You know, coming out here to camp today, first take, what you see?
I mean, look, I follow the quarterbacks around. I mean, that's what everybody's doing when they come here. I mean, I'm not blazing a new trail in that regard. It's kind of what I thought. I mean, the veteran – I mean, I thought I'm sitting there writing my column now, and, like, I think my lead's going to be, you know, Brian Hoyer is infinitely faster than Johnny Manziel.
Totally.
Which sounds, on its surface, ridiculous.
Not in
a
foot race, folks.
Right, because you're thinking, wait a minute, this is Johnny football. But speed of thought, processing information, coming out of the huddle, command of the offense, looking the part – Hoyer's there. And no one – I mean, you'd be silly if you thought Manziel would be there now. But – you know, I have a hard time thinking. We'll see. We'll see what happens in these four preseason games. But I don't see any reason why you have to play Manziel right away. Brian Hoyer's not a guy who's going to relinquish this easily. He's one of my favorite guys in the league. He's such a scrapper, such a fighter. And he believes this is a football team. And I think that will be the case now. Look, if this goes like a normal Brown season goes, I don't have to tell you guys
you
about that.
Possible.
The kid will be playing football soon enough. Whether Hoyer's executing or not, I mean, if you know, the record goes the wrong way, then things have a way of changing. But I you know, it looked what I thought it would look. I liked the corner they drafted.
Justin
Gilbert. Loved to see him. The plays he was making, the ball skills, you could see that he had that just baller in him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good to see. You know, other than that, I'm trying to think if anything else leaps out at me. But mostly I was ball hawking the quarterbacks.
What about the big picture? Because you brought it up. So much change here. And as you said, as we were sitting here a year ago, and if any of us was to say, okay, Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi, they won't be back.
Chud's gone.
Chud will
after
be gone.
One.
After
Norv.
One. With his,
Norv, and
his,
Norv and Ray.
Most of his staff. The two big coordinator hires, the marquee coordinator hires, and Norv Turner and Ray Horton last year. All of that gone, but in what you see in place, and I'm not just talking about Mike Pettine as a presence and what he stands for, although I'd like you to get into that, but in general, what sort of shape do you find this place in as you and others nationally are coming in on the Johnny Football Watch?
Yeah.
What do you see of an organization now?
One thing that intrigues me, and I talked to Ray Farmer about it for a while, and I don't know that enough has been – maybe locally a lot's been made of it. Nationally, I certainly don't think it has been – is the whole way he's reshaped the organization. A lot of young GMs will surround themselves with kind of numbers guys, other young guys, but maybe not a whole lot of people who, if it became a stare down in the room, would have infinitely more experience themselves as previous GMs, themselves as being the guy in the line of fire. A lot of young guys get a little bit queasy about that, and they want to make sure that they're the man. He's going the exact opposite. He's got a great collection of old heads, young heads. I literally did applaud him. I'm like, hey, I think that was pretty ballsy what you did. Not everybody does that, and I think it's really smart. And you're not above saying, hey, there's guys who've done this who I respect a lot, who've done it at this level, and I want to surround myself with guys who I think will challenge me, and we will have a give and take. And, you know, I ultimately he's going to have to make decisions, but I really like the team of people he's amassed around him. I like how he's buttressed the scouting staff. You know, Billy Kuharik, Bobby DePaul, some of these guys who people around here probably aren't talking about at all, I think are some of the best evaluators that I've – I mean, these are – like, just over the years, you talk to guys. They don't have a dog in the fight. What do you think of player X? What do you think of player Y? What do you think this scenario will – how will this play out? And they don't it's not like they have an agenda, just picking people's brains over the years. I wish I could tell you how many scenarios in the past, just talking to those guys, just talking football, and you make a little mental note, and then 2 years later, you're like, holy bleep, they were right about this guy, right about this guy. They knew that thing would blow up. They knew how this guy didn't fit in that scheme. You know, they would see things before they happened. Mm-hmm. So – I think the world of those two. I think Ray has you know, gone about it, in my estimation, the right way, but it's certainly not the norm.
Yeah, Gray Farmer, the GM, certainly been a breath of fresh air around here in this building. And, yeah, he's put together – it is a large staff that he has with a lot of experience, a lot of years in that room right now.
Has him spending some money there. I mean, you know, I mean, not all teams do that. I mean, some teams figure, hey, I'm going to give my coach and my GM a lot of money, but the rest of the budget for them to operate on is small.
This is an extraordinary investment in the personnel department.
The whole way, all the titles, the whole way they've restructured things. I mean, I'm very impressed.
Ultimately, that is the lifeblood of an organization. So if you get that right, other things should hopefully take care of it themselves. What have you thought about the draft and obviously the offseason moves, kind of the roster overhaul? Because a lot of people who have come through early, obviously, just seem to see a lot more talent on the football field than they saw last year.
Yeah, I think certainly, they'll have a fair amount of youngsters who will play. I mean, you know, last year at this time, I remember the day I was here, I was really impressed with the tight end. But I remember kind of talking to Norv, and he's like, "Hey, this guy's still a project. Now he's only been playing football a couple years, and we saw how he took off." So you just look at that transition. Right? Last year, even people who were with him every day were kind of privately keeping their fingers crossed. Now you go into this season, he's expected to be the man. Unfortunately for Josh, it worked out both ways. This time last year, people were like, what a physical freak. He's putting it all together, but can he keep it together off the field? Unfortunately, he's lived up to both ends of that. But, I mean, yeah, I think you look around the roster and you like what you see. I just think, Josh, there might be 10 guys in the league, non-quarterbacks, so you say, take them out of their team and it could really crumble everything around. You know, like Jamal Charles. And, I mean, there's he would be in my short list of 8 to 10 guys where if you just want to absolutely make an offense work 50 times harder than would have to without him, he'd be on that list.
Yeah, well, look at what happened when Calvin Johnson would go out into Detroit. It's a big blow to an offense.
Yeah.
Speaking of Josh Gordon, I have a couple questions for you. First, have you heard anything about the impending appeal August 1st? And two, why is the NFL forcing this team to go into a week of training camp in limbo with Josh Gordon?
I have no idea. Do not ask me to answer for much of what's coming out of the league office lately. Why the Ray Rice decision took so long, why they ultimately made the decision that they made, why the Josh Gordon thing hasn't happened, why has nothing happened to Jimmy Irsay, what do they plan to do with Greg Hardy, why does Darrell Washington get in more trouble for smoking a blunt than he does for allegedly smacking, you know, cracking people's collarbones? I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of these. It's bizarre. I mean, now, part of it, I think, just is this idea that everything's negotiable now. You know, I mean, we have this drug chart, but we saw last year with Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did they ever come up with that thing in the first place? Well, you're going to miss a game, but two game checks or whatever. Well, you know, two games, but four game checks. Like, now we're just all off the chart. Like, we can just come up with anything. So I think part of it is, and you've gone down that road now, and there are some loopholes. The language in that drug policy, if you really read it over, there's times – I'm not a lawyer, but there's times I read it, and I'm like, that's – like, I don't really know what that sentence means. And then you ask lawyers, and like, yeah, we don't really know what that sentence means. So I think that's led to, like, the Brandon Browner thing. Some of these weird situations I don't know why it's taken so long, other than, again, the DUI as well compounded things. But I can't imagine it's the ending that Browns fans would want to see.
Because can you see anything less than 16 games
now? I really can't. Just because the you look at the league's hardline stance on pot and you couple it with the DUI, I have a hard time seeing a whole lot of wiggle room. And he's not. He's obviously a repeat. You got to be a repeat offender to get in the system. You got to be a repeat offender to get the first suspension. Now he's a repeat.
And I think as it's structured now, because that is a negotiated, right, the discipline on violation of substance is a negotiated punishment by the NFLPA and the league,
yes.
Whereas personal conduct, the Ray Rice story,
right,
is a whole different, and
yes,
it's like the league tiptoes on that one and is more concerned about the law and,
yes,
and right, in the civil aspect versus drugs.
Yeah, and there's so much that needs to change with that. I mean, even the idea, too, that, like, if you get suspended for a year, you get, so now you're not in the facility. Like, if a guy gets suspended for 2 or 4 games, you know, he could be here all through training camp, and then he just misses those games, and he comes back. But if you get a longer suspension, you're just gone completely. Like, I would think that's the most counterintuitive thing I've ever heard in my life. Wait a minute. The people who actually could be his mentors, who could help him, who could make him continue to develop as a mentally as a person, mentally as a football player, people who could be father figures to him, people who could put a little – exert like a Brian Hoyer exerting peer pressure on him – all these potential leaders around him, let's take him out of that cocoon, send him back on his merry way, kick him out for 22 weeks, and then bring him back in for the offseason.
Because that works so well for Justin Blackmon.
You know what I'm saying?
What sense does that make?
Are we treating him, or are we making an example out of him? This, to me, is more draconian than helpful. It's pointing the finger at him.
Yeah, it's sort of like the whole – You can win a war, but you don't win the peace. And I mean, I think that's the key here, is like figuring out, you've done the punishment, but like, how do you help the guy to make sure this doesn't happen again? And I think that should be part of general approach to it, is help the person that needs the help. So,
right.
Hey, you're from Maryland. I mean, as much as you cover the league on a national basis, though, you know, Maryland guys, and I just want to ask you about a Towson product by the name of Terrence West. I know you know a lot about
my backyard. That's right in my backyard.
That's
a Baltimore City kid like me who went to college at Towson, and I live in Towson. I live right across the street from that campus.
Break it down.
I like Terrence a lot. I'm openly rooting for him. Great kid. He's overcome some incredible hardships. I mean, the part of town he comes from, like, if you've seen The Wire and you've seen West Baltimore, I mean, that it's legitimately corner boys. It's people. I mean, it's a third world country. And he had a lot of weird things, quirky things that happened scholarship wise and being eligibility wise. And I mean, he ended up basically on his own, just trying to keep this dream alive of playing college football and maybe one day getting to the NFL. And it's happened. And I know the coaches there at Towson really well. And they, you know, it was a weird situation. I mean, this is a kid who thought he was, you know, maybe going to be starting at like Clemson or something like that. And next thing you know, a couple years later, he's walking on to Towson University. Still had a little bit of an ego because he knows he can play. And so, but all that, I think, in the long term helped him. All that whole journey clashing with Coach Ambrose at Towson at first, and then, you know, those two kind of getting on the same page, like having some immediate success, but then sophomore, you know, well, what amounted to, I guess, his second sophomore year, struggling a little bit, then winning, you know, almost winning a national championship. I mean, I just think a lot of things have aligned themselves to help this kid mature and come along. I'm interested to see pass pro when the live bullets are flying, because what he was asked to do in college, it's going to be a little bit different up here. And he's got tremendous hands, but they didn't throw the ball that much to him in college, and it was kind of like, well, we don't really want to get him that involved in pass pro. You know, at that level, you could just feed him the rock, and boom,
and
he's going to take off, and they did.
Yeah.
But he has tremendous hands, so I'll be interested to see, you know, how they exploit that here. I mean, obviously, they got Ben Tate for a reason, but I think this kid is going to continue to be intriguing enough that they find ways to get him on the football field.
No question. I think that's one of the big battles of camp, and I would say certainly one that right now, today, at least to me, appears closer than, say, Hoyer Manziel, and that's Tate West. And it's going to be an interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's I don't know if you guys have talked to him much, but he's really engaging. He's a kid that you quickly find yourself pulling for him.
For sure.
You know, so, yeah, hopefully it works out. And, you know, hopefully it's – I think Towson will keep sending some kids to the NFL.
Lockhart, great to have you with us. And love
my
insights
pleasure.
And break down the whole works. You know, we'll get you back here soon.
And you were where? Pittsburgh yesterday.
Yeah,
yes.
Here today. Cincy.
Here tomorrow. After, because you guys, it's an early practice tomorrow, and then I'll stick around for a little bit well after practice, and then drive to Cincy Wednesday.
Well, real quick, what's your take on the AFC North?
I'm very intrigued to see Cincinnati. I have this feeling that they take a step back.
You lose two coordinators.
Yeah,
and affectionate
talent. I think the brain drain there is significant. I think Marvin is feeling the heat a little bit. They haven't won in the playoffs. It's a big year for him. Everyone's jocking Hugh Jackson, and I get it to a certain degree, but I also think he's had issues himself. I mean, in Oakland, he burned out real quick, and, yes. and yeah, he's probably learned from that, but I'm very intrigued to see Andy Dalton playing for a contract. I mean, they haven't taken care of the wide receiver yet. And they've lost a few starters as well. It's not just the brain drain, but you know, they've had some guys walk from that defense as well. And, you know, we'll see Geno, guys coming off injury. You know, Hall's been hurt a lot lately. So I'm interested to see how they do.
Do you feel more optimistic about the Browns' chances to maybe make some noise in this division this year than you did last year?
No.
Come on, Locke.
I'm sorry.
What did you think he was going to say?
I think this division's pretty wide open. I don't have a lot of confidence in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or Cincy.
Right, but we still got there's a lot of questions.
11 years in a row a team's gone from worst to first in a division. 11 years in a row. Why not us? Let's go.
No, I mean, hey, it could be. Nobody knows. I mean, the great part of this league
shake
is
the pom-pom.
Literally nobody knows. But if you're asking me to try to size them up.
You don't think they'll be better than 4-12?
Yeah, I think they'll be better than 4-12. But, I mean, you're asking me if I think they're going to compete for the division title. I think there's a lot of, you know, like you're looking at like a frog hopping from one lily pad to, like they may hop from one lily pad to the second lily pad. I don't know if they're hopping from the fourth lily pad to the first.
I just want to know.
I don't know if they're making that leap.
Can we just hop forward?
Now, look, if you had Josh Gordon, if you promised me a 16 games of Josh Gordon, he's not going to get in any trouble, blah, 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 blah. That's a different scenario. Then I'm probably jumping them up two or three lily pads.
Talk to your people. Let's go.
My people.
You got your people.
Who do you think I am? Who, Raj? Hey, Raj, cut these guys. I just did Browns Daily, and, you know, could you cut Gordon some slack and just let him play
this
year?
That's how it works. That's usually the
really?
Answer that we have.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Always
all right.
Great.
We got Gerard Cherry, the three-time Super Bowl champ, coming up in a little bit to cover three topics. In the meantime, let's hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKM.